The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will make this brief. My dear mother once said to me,
if you don't have something nice to say about someone, then don't say anything.
So here he is,
Eric Metaxas.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate your self-restraint. Very judicious of you. Hey, folks, 40 years ago, this is really huge. Listen carefully. 40 years ago, I remember it well, something unprecedentedly horrible happened. It was November 1978, 40 years ago. The Reverend Jim Jones, some of you now know what I'm talking about, he orchestrated the murders and suicides of almost 1,000 people at a remote jungle outpost in South America. It's just something that when it happened, the pictures, the whole thing, it was mind-blowing. He was somehow portrayed as a fundamentalist Christian guru. But 40 years later, a book has come out that tells us, no, that is not only not the case. It's dramatically opposite to the actual case. The book I'm holding in my hand, it's called Cult City, C-U-L-T, Cult City. Jim Jones, Harvey Milk, in 10 Days That Shook San Francisco. The author, Daniel Flynn, is on the line. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me.
This is a staggering story, absolutely staggering. Give my audience the guts of it so they know what we're going to be talking about in the next hour.
Well, in 1977, Jim Jones, the world started crumbling in on him. There were a number of media reports that he had been orchestrating fake faith healings, you know, pressuring members to turn over their assets, their property, that he was involved in these beating members of his flock, all sorts of just nasty activity. And so he was really a darling of the political establishment in San Francisco. And then very quickly, he absconded to South America, and he had about 1,000 people follow him down there from San Francisco. And this, you know, they had set up a commune down there in the mid-70s, and very few people lived there at that point. But then, you know, all of a sudden, there's this influx of about 1,000 people, and they're living in the middle of the jungle in South America. One of the persons that he took was a six-year-old boy by the name of John Victor Stone. And his parents were in the United States, and they wanted him back. And so this set up kind of a custody case, and there was a court order to bring this kid back to the United States. There were a number of relatives in the United States that were very concerned that this was not a commune but really a concentration camp. And so Leo Ryan, a congressman from San Mateo County in California, went down to Jonestown with a group of media members to investigate conditions and hopefully get some people out of there, which he did. But Jones sent a hit squad, a group called the Red Brigade, and they assassinated Congressman Leo Ryan. They killed three journalists, and they killed one of the escaping members. And that set off a wave, what Jones calls revolutionary suicide. And this was a term that he got from a book by Huey Newton, in which people were supposedly killing themselves for the betterment of mankind to protest the conditions of the world. That's how he spun it. And his followers, They bought into it. And you can listen on the death tape of them killing themselves. You hear one person, one adult objecting, and numerous people saying how great it was that they were killing themselves for communism, for socialism, and they were thanking Jim Jones for this. And so you had, about 909 people within Jonestown kill themselves. So where we get the phrase drinking the Kool-Aid. They actually took Flavor Aid laced with Valium and about a penny's worth of cyanide apiece. And initially, they thought maybe a few hundred people had killed themselves. but they realized that people were sort of piled upon people, and they were rotting in the jungle. And ultimately, you know, there were 918 people that were killed in Jonestown, in the capital, in Georgetown, Guyana, and also in the airstrip outside of Jonestown.
Okay, so this was really a mass murder on an absolutely horrific scale. Jim Jones was, I don't hesitate to call him a satanic figure, a truly evil, wicked, Machiavellian human being. So then the question becomes, why did Harvey Milk, who was the first openly gay mayor of any major city and who's been celebrated in the gay world for over 40 years since he was killed, why did he praise Jim Jones? Why did George Moscone praise Jim Jones? Why did Willie Brown praise Jim Jones? So many of these major figures on the left in California lionized the man whom we now know to be an evil mass murderer. What was the link between Harvey Milk and Jim Jones?
Well, I think there's two parts of it. The first is that Jones echoed the things that Milk and Moscone and Willie Brown and the others wanted to hear from the pulpit, but really didn't. Jones supported gay rights at a time when it was very unfashionable to do so. He was very much involved in supporting the various radical causes favored by certain African-Americans, you know, very much a supporter of Huey Newton and Angela Davis and other cause celebs at the time. So that was part of it. The other part of it was that there was a transactional politics involved, whereas Jim Jones would offer volunteers, you know, a printing press, all sorts of publicity for figures mainly in the Democratic Party. And in return, they would give him legitimacy. And Jim Jones really got the better end of the deal. And so for Harvey Milk, who was kind of a perennial candidate, he didn't go anywhere in politics until he came upon Jim Jones. And Jim Jones gave him hundreds of campaign volunteers, conscripted volunteers. You know, he gave him boosterism in People's Forum, their newspaper. He gave him the pulpit to speak to the members of People's Temple, which Harvey Milk did. And in exchange, Jim Jones got something much better. So when things started going bad for Jones, Harvey Milk used his position as a supervisor in San Francisco to write various world leaders and lobby on Jones's behalf. He wrote President Jimmy Carter that Jones was a figure held in the highest regard in the minority community. He was a man of the highest ethics. He said that the parents that were trying to get their little boy back, one was a blackmailer and the other was a teller of bold-faced lies. So he, in essence, he took the side of the kidnapper versus the kid's legitimate parents, and that kid died in Guyana. He wrote to Joseph Califano, who was the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, saying that Jonestown was a beautiful retirement community that people would pay thousands of dollars to belong to, that it was alleviating the world food crisis. This was a time when people were starving in Jonestown. They couldn't even make food to feed everyone. And he said that they were leaving it in the world food crisis. There was all sorts of just propaganda lies that he was telling various world leaders, including Prime Minister Forbes Burnham. He wrote him, "Such greatness I have found in People's Temple." And so when you're in Guyana, when you're a politician in Guyana, and you don't know anything about this People's Temple, and you're getting letters from, you know, Harvey Milk, you're getting letters from Willie Brown, you're getting letters from the lieutenant governor of California, Mervyn Dimily, saying how great this Jones guy was. Mervyn Dimily actually went with Jones on an airplane to Jonestown. He came back to the United States and he said he was tremendously impressed. This was a concentration camp that he was looking at, but he was telling everyone how great it was. And so for the folks in Guyana, this obviously gave them pause what to do with regard to these reports of, you know, possible mass suicide and people being abused in their own country, because so many people, so many powerful people in the United States were telling them, no, Jim Jones was a great guy.
Well, but just to go back, it sounds like Harvey Milk never would have been elected without Jim Jones.
Yeah, that was certainly a big part of it. He ran for office four times and he didn't get elected until 1977. At that point, a lot of the People's Temple members had already fled to Guyana, but there were still enough people in the United States that were helping him Well, when he put on a street fair, for instance, and he had to get entertainers. He got the entertainment from People's Temple because they had really professional level people there. So there was a very close relationship.
We're gonna go to break. I want to find out more about this. This is so fascinating, folks. I'm talking to Daniel Flynn, is the author of Cult City, brand new book about Jim Jones, Harvey Milk, and 10 Days That Shook San Francisco. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Don't let the credit card companies bully you anymore. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Get off the debt treadmill and stop the harassment. Get free of credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and medical bills. Call now at 866-844-7344 for free information. For about 10 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, too. Get off the endless cycle without having to declare bankruptcy. You'll have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call Total Financial now at 866-844-7344. That's 866-844-7344.
You've wrestled with that issue for so long. You don't know who to talk to. You're too embarrassed to tell your friends or family what you're dealing with. You're even reluctant to talk to your pastor. I know. I was there too. But it got to a point that something had to change. And then I found Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who share your faith and will help you through your problem. They want to give you a free week just to try it out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Why not give it a try? Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Talk to someone who can help. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Let them help. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That is a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan, and you can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Well, thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send, and they won't scan your emails. They'll leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about something that happened exactly 40 years ago. This is the anniversary of the horror known as Jamestown in South America. Nearly 1,000 people murdered or really forced to commit suicide. Absolutely horrifying. 10 days later, the assassination of Harvey Milk. Strange time. I never knew that these things were linked until I saw this book called Cult City by Daniel Flynn. Now, Daniel, what is the standard narrative on this? In other words, when we think about James Jones, we think about him as a cult leader. Cult leaders are usually smeared as being right wing. In this case, he was very dramatically and devotedly left wing.
Yeah, when the news initially hit, and often this happens in the first draft of history, people mess things up. Walter Cronkite said that they were fascists. The New York Times said that Jones preached fundamentalist Christianity. The Associated Press said that they were religious zealots. Now, the reality of the situation, I interviewed a number of survivors from Jonestown, and a couple of them told me that when anyone who was bringing the Bible into Jonestown, it was confiscated. They were not redistributed until the commune ran out of toilet paper, and they were instructed to use the Bibles in that way, you know, without getting into detail. You know, that would be a very strange act for any fundamentalist Christian to.
Well, it sounds like, let's be clear. I mean, if you're doing that, that's as anti-Christian as you can be. So even to call oneself a reverend, why did Jim Jones, who hated the Bible, putting it mildly, why did he say he was the Reverend Jim Jones?
Well, I think he is probably the best authority on this. And he in an autobiographical tape that he made, he said that he wanted to know, you know, what was he going to do with his life? And the thought was, you know, how can I demonstrate my Marxism? And he said the thought was to infiltrate the church. And so Jones, who was a liar and not always the best authority on Jim Jones, I think spoke with more than a grain of truth there, that he wanted to use the form of Christianity to attract people. You know, he used the sort of Pentecostal form where he would pretend to heal people of cancer. He said he healed Huey Newton's parents of cancer and various other people. He said he rose people who were dead from the grave. They made many specific claims regarding that. And so that was what got a lot of people in there, particularly older people who had ailments. They thought that he was actually healing people. And what the price that they paid for that is that he would often go on rants for hours at a time about socialism and the evils of capitalism and that kind of thing. And so, you know, ultimately, once they are in the church, they realize they're not in a church at all. It's a people's temple. It's something that is a political pressure group that's promoting far left, you know, socialist kind of thing. And in San Francisco at the time, you know, this was the hangover after the high. You know, you had the high of the 60s with the Summer of Love and Haight-Ashbury. And in the 1970s, there's always a price to pay for that party. And you had that price to pay with the Zodiac killings and the Zebra killing and the New World Liberation Front, the Symbionese Liberation Army. All of these crazies, political crazies in some cases, really terrorizing the city of San Francisco. You know, multiple figures, Dianne Feinstein, the New World Liberation Front, put a bomb on her daughter's windowsill. Art Agnos, who later became mayor, was shot by the Zebra killer. So a lot of politicians, it was a very risky profession in San Francisco in the 70s. In that kind of an environment, Jim Jones looks a little bit mainstream compared to all that. And so you had legitimate figures flocking to him, including, you know, when Walter Mondale came to campaign in 1976 for the vice presidency of the United States, you know, one of the first guys he meets when he gets off the plane on the tarmac is Jim Jones. When Rosalynn Carter, President Carter's wife, comes to San Francisco, Jim Jones introduces her. They have a phone conversation, at least one that we have that the transcript is in existence. She refers him to her sister-in-law, Ruth Carter Stapleton, who's in the ministry. They have dinner together. So he has a very tight relationship, not only with the politicians in San Francisco, but many national powerful figures.
So he's a socialist communist, and ultimately it's clear that he's a very sick, evil man. What is the relationship between him and Harvey Milk? In other words, or I should say, what Harvey Milk's assassination, which has been, you know, Talked about the movie was made with Sean Penn recently, that, you know, Harvey Milk is this ultimate hero. What does his assassination have to do with Jim Jones?
Well, I think it really puts the exclamation point on the 1970s in San Francisco, which was a very chaotic decade. And those two events happening within 9 days of one another, you know, they would be the biggest events in the history of that city in any decade. And the fact that they came within 9 days of each other, they're going to be forever linked. Beyond that, both of the victims in the assassination, George Moscone and Harvey Milk, were two of the biggest boosters of Jim Jones in San Francisco. With Moscone, just to give you an example, he actually appointed Jones to the Housing Commission Authority in San Francisco, and Jones quickly becomes the chairman of the Housing Commission Authority, effectively making him the largest landlord in the city of San Francisco, which is pretty terrifying when you think of what he did to his tenants down in Jonestown. When we think about mass murderers and serial killers, you know, we don't think Charles Manson and Ted Bundy and guys like this holding positions of great power within, you know, great American cities. But in Jim Jones's case, he did hold great power in San Francisco. And you had people like Willie Brown comparing him to Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi. He wrote Fidel Castro saying that Castro should offer Jones a state visit when he came to visit Cuba. He said he was a highly trusted brother in the struggle for liberation. You know, they really went overboard to legitimize this guy. And part of the reason, you know, we think how could all those people be so foolish down in South America? Well, part of that reason is because people that they trusted in government, in the media, in Hollywood, all vouched for Jim Jones. Jane Fonda wrote Jim Jones a letter saying she wanted to be an active and full participant in the People's Temple. She was so hyped up after going to a service at People's Temple. Jim Jones regarded her as a member, and when you read her letter to Jim Jones, you get the feeling that he was right, that she was a member of People's Temple. That's not the information that you're going to get from any of the documentaries that air this weekend.
Unbelievable. I wish you had made a documentary that would be airing this weekend. This is just stunning. This is stunning. We've got to put this this program on YouTube so we can get this out there this weekend if possible, because this is so important. Tell us how you have Dianne Feinstein mentored the man who murdered Harvey Milk. How is that possible?
Well, Dan White, immediately when he assassinated Harvey Milk, there was sort of this revisionist history that he had killed Milk because he was gay. Now, when I kind of half believed that when I started this process, but you know, I came to find out very early that that was not true. I interviewed Dan White's chief of staff, his campaign manager, his business partner, the first guy he hires when he goes into politics, a guy by the name of Ray Sloan. And Ray Sloan said to me, matter of fact, look, I'm gay. I think Dan White knew I was gay. He didn't care. We didn't talk about it. But this is the first guy Dan White hires. And so the idea that homophobia motivated Dan White, it doesn't really mesh with the reality of his life. He was a centrist Democrat in San Francisco. He supported gun control. He was for affirmative action. He was basically the public employees union's representative on the board. And he resigns from his spot. And a few days later, the public employees unions were saying, what are you doing? We walked precincts for you. We manned phone banks, and now you're resigning? And he thought about it, and he asked for his seat back. Mayor Moscone initially, very publicly, said, you can have your seat back. I'm not accepting your resignation. Harvey Milk got into Mayor Moscone's ear and quite sensibly said, look, this guy is the reason why we're losing so many 6-5 votes. You'd be crazy to appoint this guy. Why don't we just get someone new? And Mayor Moscone thought about it and said, you know what? I'm changing my mind. This set Dan White off, and Dan White was not a very stable guy, and there's a lot in my book to support that. You know, people that knew him very closely, rivals, political rivals, and others that we talked to, give evidence of a very long history of violence, and I don't mean just fistfights, from Dan White prior to this. And so Dan White was a guy who didn't like to lose, was very tightly wound, and he came to City Hall on November 27th, 1978, he killed the mayor, and then he killed Harvey Milk. And so the chant about White later was Dan White, Dan White, hitman for the new right. His voting record doesn't support that at all. He was very much a protege of Dianne Feinstein on that board of supervisors. She kind of took him under
And it takes us 40 years to hear about this. I just can't believe it. I hope people will get your book. We're going to be right back, continuing our conversation with Daniel Flynn, the author of Cult City. Grab a copy.
Take me to the pilot, beat me to the train. Take me to the pilot, I'm not a stranger. Take me to the pilot, beat me to the train. Take me to the pilot.
Are you interested in trading stocks as a way to generate extra monthly income? Then listen up. Before you waste time or money on another service, you really need to learn about the online trader community that everyone is talking about. This is the group that allows you to trade with their money. That's right. When you complete their training program, Aviary Fund will gladly put up to $100,000 of their own money into your trading account. And the best part? You get to keep up to 85% of the profits without putting in a dime of your own money. Aviary Fund's Trader Development Program is producing seriously amazing results. And as a special offer, today, they are allowing our listeners to get started for free. Just text the word BUZZ to 48542 to join Apiary's trading program now. Learn how to trade using their money, not your own. To get started, just text BUZZ to 48542. That's B-U-Z-Z to 48542 to join the Apiary trading community today. Text BUZZ to 48542. That's BUZZ to 48542.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Our love is a lie, and so we begin foolishly laying our hearts on the table, stumbling in. Our love is a flame burning within. Now and then firelight will catch us stumbling.
Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about something that happened 40 years ago, exactly 40 years ago. Very, very important correction of the record. Many people over the years think that the murder of Harvey Milk and Mayor Moscone was animated by homophobia. That's not true. Many people believe that Jim Jones, the cult leader, who oversaw the murder of nearly 1,000 people in Jonestown, was himself somehow right-wing. Precisely the opposite is true, very dramatically true. And not only was he not any kind of a Christian, he was bitterly opposed to the Bible and commanded his people to use it for toilet paper. I mean, these are things I have never heard. I'm talking to the author of a brand new book. Daniel Flynn is the author of Cult City, Jim Jones, Harvey Milk, and 10 Days That Shook San Francisco. It's just staggering stuff. What led you, Daniel Flynn, into the story and to write this book?
It happened when I was very little, and I remember thinking it was the weirdest thing that I had ever heard in my life. And when I was an adult, I heard that Mayor Moscone had appointed Jim Jones to the Housing Commission, that he was the chairman of the Housing Commission in San Francisco. And I thought, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, and we touched on that earlier. And so once I heard that, I thought, well, you know, there's part of the story that we're not hearing. And that set me off. And I spent 10 years of my life researching this. I made my first research trip to San Francisco in 2010. And it's not easy to find. There's not many survivors of Jonestown around. So finding them and being able to interview people who were shot by Jim Jones's goons or a guy who was the second in command of People's Temple who defected and basically became their number one public enemy. Some of these people, because they lived in through a very depressing time, they're not very eager to talk about it. And so it took me a long time, but I did, I spent a decade of my life off and on writing this thing, and I'm just glad to have it out.
Well, one of the most dramatic things on the back of your book, you have these encomia from famous figures. You have Jane Fonda and Harvey Milk and Governor Jerry Brown and Tom Hayden, who eventually married Jane Fonda. All of them signed a statement of support for this mass murderer, Jim Jones. They wrote, "We are familiar with the work of Reverend Jones and People's Temple and have no hesitancy in commending them for their example in setting a high standard of ethics and morality." That is like a glowing praise of Adolf Hitler or of Stalin. It's the most bizarre sentence. How is it possible? I mean, were these people blinded because of their political views? In other words, if somebody's on the right side of your views, and this, that we're all guilty of this, right? That you just look the other way at troubling hints.
I think that's a big part of it, and I think the other part of it is that for people on the left, it's very hard to find ordained ministers with a big following who speak their language, and they found that in Jim Jones, and so they're very grateful for that. And the other part, the big part, is it was transactional politics. Jones, because he was essentially the dictator of all these people, he was able to order them to write letters en masse for a particular cause or to volunteer en masse for any sort of candidate that he wanted to support. People found it really odd when Rosalynn Carter came and Jones introduced her, that the biggest cheers were not for Rosalynn Carter, the woman who was going to be First Lady of the United States, but they were for Jim Jones. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people. And people thought, wow, usually these political rallies, they weren't like Donald Trump rallies back then. They might have 50 or 100 people. But all of a sudden, if you have 500 screaming people, almost acting like it's Beatlemania or something like that, all of a sudden Jones, he gets the sort of inflated power because they're looking upon him as sort of a godsend for their political prospects. I think the other part of it is that San Francisco is a one-party town. And anytime you have a one-party town, there's not a whole lot of checks and balances, that people are able to get away with things that they wouldn't normally be able to get away with if there was some sort of adversarial process within politics. And that was certainly absent from San Francisco in the 1970s.
Well, let me ask this. Because there are many young people listening to this program who don't understand. I mean, I've referenced this mass suicide, this mass murder. Why, and again, there's no good answer, but ostensibly, why did Jones want to have 1,000 people murdered or to commit suicide, forced suicide or to be shot? What was going on in South America? Why did these people flee to this place, and why did he want them to be killed? What was his thinking?
I think he realized that his ideology was coming up against reality. He thought that they could go down there and live the principles of socialism and it would be a land of milk and honey. And it was a very difficult process. Just, leave socialism aside, the idea that you're going to take people from American cities, from urban environments, and make them farmers in a climate that's not really suitable for that, that's going to be very hard for anyone. And he realized, he was looking around, and he saw failure everywhere he went. I don't think he could reconcile his ideology failing with the reality of
so
that.
He thought they would just take an exit straight to heaven. We're going to be right back, folks, talking to Daniel Flynn. The book, very important book, Cult City, Jim Jones, Harvey Milk, and 10 Days That Shook San Francisco. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
See me wide awake. The day would surely have to break. But it would not be new if not for you.
Alvin, I would like to talk about Relief Factor.
Sure, yeah.
But you know what? Even better than my talking about it, what about if we hear from Julia? Can we hear from Julia?
Yeah.
Is she here? Let's go.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home.
I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
Okay, I got to say, Relief Factor was actually created by doctors who wanted a 100% drug-free supplement that could help your own body deal with inflammation and those aches and pains due to aging, exercise, whatever it is, which is why I take it. Look, you can do all kinds of stuff, but this is very inexpensive. It's drug-free. It's safe. And within 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. It works for most people. So check it out. It's ReliefFactor.com. Highly recommended, folks. ReliefFactor.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-519-0447. That's 800-519-0447, 800-519-0447, or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Don't let the credit card companies bully you anymore. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Get off the debt treadmill and stop the harassment. Get free of credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and medical bills. Call now at 866-844-7344 for free information. For about 10 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, too. Get off the endless cycle without having to declare bankruptcy. You'll have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call Total Financial now at 866-844-7344. That's 866-844-7344.
Alvin, wake up. Wake up, Alvin.
Oh, boy.
You know, I told you, My Pillow, it's so successful at getting people to sleep that even by bringing it into the studio, you fell asleep.
I'm telling you,
get it out of the studio.
Okay, this is not
a place to sleep. If you want to sleep, sleep at home. Folks, this is what's happening with My Pillow. It's so successful at getting people to sleep that I think it's dangerous. Anyway, the point is, if you want to go to sleep, Mike Lindell, the inventor of this dangerous, powerful thing called My Pillow, has a special offer for you, Eric Metaxas Show listeners. He's now offering you a buy one, get one free. Right now, if you're looking for a great night's sleep, it would be the perfect time. Call 800-978-3057. 800-978-3057. Use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or you go to mypillow.com and use the code Eric or Eric Metaxas. But remember, these are powerful. You need to respect them, okay? MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric or Metaxas. Check it out.
Half of what I say is meaningless, but I say it just to reach you, Julia.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Daniel Flynn. The book is Cult City, Jim Jones, Harvey Milk, and 10 Days That Shook San Francisco. Daniel, this is an amazing story, and it's amazing to me that it's taken 40 years to get this out. I mean, apart from your book, the narrative, the nonsensical narrative that has been going on for 40 years. I mean, what you write about is pretty straightforward. Has anybody else hinted about this? Or, I mean, are you really the first one to break this?
I think on certain things, they hint at it. The documentaries, they certainly mention Jones's politics, but I think it's glossed over. The alliances that he had with certain media members, Hollywood types, celebrities, and politicians, that's very difficult for a lot of people to stomach. The idea that their heroes view Jim Jones as a hero, that's hard for people. I mean, Jerry Brown is the governor of California, and he was the governor of California then. He spoke at People's Temple. He thought of Jim Jones as a great guy. And, you know, you're not going to run for governor and say, oh, yeah, remember that time back in the 70s where I fell for Jim Jones? Willie Brown is you know, a hero in San Francisco. You think of a guy like Herb Cain, who won a Pulitzer Prize. They have a Herb Cain Way in San Francisco. He was the biggest booster of Jim Jones in the press. The most prominent address in San Francisco is City Hall, and it's One Carlton B. Goodlett Place. Carlton B. Goodlett was the most aggressive promoter of Jim Jones, so much so that after People's Temple, after Jonestown happens, Carlton Goodlett gets on television. He still defends Jim Jones. He attacks the people that, you know, the media, Congressman Ryan, the concerned relatives who were, you know, desperate to get their family members out. He attacks them, praises Jones, and the worst thing he can say about him is that it was an act of rascality. That's the only time I've ever heard anyone refer to murdering over 900 human beings as the act of a rascal. But this is what this guy did on television, and they, you know, 20 years later, they put his name on the street that gives City Hall its address. So I don't think San Francisco really learned that lesson. They don't honor the People's Temple, all those people that died. They have a small memorial in Oakland. They had no affiliation with Oakland. They had a temple in San Francisco. San Francisco completely ignores them, and they, you know, they're naming a terminal of San Francisco Airport after Harvey Milk. They have the City Hall named after Carlton Goodlett. Phil Burton, who was a prominent congressman, his building's named after him, George Moscone. Nothing for Leo Ryan, the hero of this whole event, and nothing for People's Temple. There's something very insulting about all that.
How many of the 918 people who were murdered were black?
About two-thirds of them.
Okay. And that's itself staggering, that this was mostly black people that were murdered. That the man who did this murder, of course, was white, and he was a radical socialist. And he brought them down there to create a socialist utopia and failed so miserably that he thought the only way out is to murder all these people. I mean,
what's amazing is that on the death tape, there's one woman, a black woman, 60-year-old woman named Christine Miller, who stands up to Jones. And her, you know, she's very logical for most of what she says and saying we shouldn't all kill ourselves. She's the only one, by the way. But her alternative is let's all go to the Soviet Union instead. Now, those were the choices in Jonestown. That's how brainwashed these people were, that at that point, the choices available to them were either A, let's all kill ourselves, or B, let's go live in a communist country half way around the world.
Isn't this – it's almost like the antithesis of the Pilgrims, right? In other words, instead of wanting to spread, true faith and succeeding, these people had the most perverse faith, a faith that is already on the ash heap of history, communism, socialism, unless you remember Alexander Ocasio-Cortez, who still seems to think that this can work. Venezuela is this story writ large. It's fascinating to me that it takes until now to expose this as a failed socialist colony. I mean, that's what this was. I've not heard that, nor have I ever heard of the link between Harvey Milk and Jim Jones. It's just a stunning thing. Have you thought about making this into a documentary? It seems that it ought to be a film.
There actually have been people who've approached, but, you know, it's one of those things where you believe it when you see it. I would just be pleased if people went out and read the book, because it is one of the major events in American history. It's certainly the most bizarre event that's ever happened in American history. But when up until 9/11, it was the largest single civilian loss of American life. And yet it doesn't have that stature of a Pearl Harbor or a 9/11, despite the fact that, you know, you had almost 1,000 people die.
Well, I still don't understand precisely why, it's you can fail in a lot of ways, but to take this kind of dramatic step, why do you think Jones insisted on murdering everybody? I mean, that is, it's as grandiose as it gets. I mean, it's like Hitler in the bunker.
That's the point. You say grandiose, and that's a good word. I spoke to a guy who was the second in command. He said that Jim Jones was a classic narcissist to the nth degree. And when those people were leaving him on that day with Leo Ryan, he felt like his whole body was being ripped apart. He had been planning revolutionary suicide for at least 4 years. They had a number of dry runs. And in each of those dry runs, people didn't die. And so the people who were taking the poison down there, they had done this in the past, and they didn't die. They were surrounded by archers, gunmen. Also, the fact that there had already been a number of people murdered at Jones's command, all of these things put them in a very bad spot. And you add to this the fact that these are hardened communists down there, and Jones is telling them that you're dying for the glory of communism. And when you hear the people on the death tape praising Jones and thanking him for allowing them to die, they're saying, you know, this is so great that we're allowed to die for socialism and the world. They think the world is going to see this. And what Jones said is that this is not suicide. This is revolutionary suicide, protesting the inhumane conditions of the world. That's what he thought this was about. Obviously, people saw it very differently.
Well, it's just unbelievable. I'm so glad to have you on. We'll be back for a final segment with Daniel Flynn. Folks, the book is Cult City. What a story. This story needs to be told. It's taken 40 years, but finally we know the truth. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
New book, Rare, Medium, or Done Well, trusted conservative Mike Huckabee shares time-tested wisdom with readers looking to make a difference in a world where truth is more fluid than ever. Whether business, politics, or family, Huckabee knows the importance of leaving a legacy. Rare, Medium, or Done Well is your guide to leading a life that will influence generations to come. Rare, Medium, or Done Well. Get it now, online, or from a bookseller near you.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
This Tuesday night.
What are you fighting for?
Gotta do what my father couldn't. The movie event, 40 years in the making.
Drago's kid. It's dangerous.
Arrives.
You got people that need you now.
Creed 2 will make the whole family stand up and cheer. Michael B. Jordan.
We gotta do this together because we're a team.
Sylvester Stallone.
Now you know what you're fighting for.
What's your name?
Creed! Creed 2, rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Everywhere Tuesday night.
Think about the time and money your business spends to attract the best talent. What if it was your office that attracted employees? Today's workforce wants an office that's as mobile and active as they are. Varidesk Standing Desk Solutions help you create an active workspace where employees are happier, healthier, and more productive. Varidesk products require little to no assembly, ship for free, and come with a 30-day risk-free guarantee. Browse all Varidesk products at varidesk.com/radio. That's varidesk.com/radio.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas Show. That's Larry Norman. I'm Eric Metaxas, and I'm talking to the author of Cult City, Dan Flynn. We'll be right back with Dan, but I just want to remind you of Hillsdale College. We've got a website, metaxasforhillsdale.com. It's not enough to criticize what doesn't work, folks. It's one thing to say socialism is a failure. What do you replace it with? At Hillsdale, every student at Hillsdale College learns the principles of Western Christian thinking, the principles of American exceptionalism, self-government, all of those things. Of course, everyone there learns about the Constitution. It's an extraordinary place. Everybody gets a comprehensive education. They all have to take what's called the core curriculum so they can learn all of these things. It doesn't matter what your major is. Everybody at Hillsdale gets this understanding of what is the good, the true, and the beautiful. Why do we do this and not that? Why is this advisable and not that? Why do these societies flourish and these fail? That's the Hillsdale core curriculum. You can go and find out more at MetaxasForHillsdale.com, MetaxasForHillsdale.com. A few minutes left with Daniel Flynn. Daniel, first of all, again, congratulations on the book Cult City. I know that to write a story like this and to do the research that you did must have taken you a great, great effort. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Finally, you know, we're at the 40th anniversary of this. You're telling me that, you know, this weekend, and as people talk about this, they're glossing over the main facts that we have been talking about.
Yeah, the alpha and omega of People's Temple is that it was a political pressure group. It was a hard left communist group, explicitly communist. And if you listen to the death tape, they talk about their communism quite a bit. If you listen to any of Jones's sermons, that's the overriding theme, that there is no God in heaven, that socialism is God, and because he's the personification of socialism, that makes him God. That was his theology in a nutshell. The idea that he was some sort of fundamentalist preacher, as the New York Times put it, you know, there's no facts that support it. No one in People's Temple would ever say that. And none of the existing transcripts support
that. Well, it goes beyond no facts to support it. There's an infinity of facts rebutting it. I mean, the idea that they would use the Bible as toilet paper tells you about everything you need to know. I mean, that's extraordinary to my mind. And also the idolization of this man is profoundly sick and unbiblical. I mean, it really is just – I don't shrink from calling it demonic. I mean, a figure like this who's in effect – impersonates a man of God, you know, and makes himself out to be God. There's nothing creepier than that, I think. And it's a sad story, but I'm just so grateful to you. Are the people behind Harvey Milk and folks like Jane Fonda, have any of them acknowledged this or disavowed it? Do they know about this?
There's nothing in the Milk, Oscar-winning Milk movie. There's nothing in the Oscar-winning Milk documentary about the relationship between Harvey Milk and Jim Jones. As I said, they're naming the Terminal 1 at San Francisco Airport after him. Of course, the most significant thing that he did in his political career was champion Jim Jones. That's completely erased. It's completely thrown down.
Wait a minute. Hole. That's the most significant thing Harvey Milk did in his political career?
The one piece of legislation that he shepherded through in San Francisco was a dog mess ordinance where owners of dogs would have to clean up after them. Now, I'm sure there's some people that were very happy about that, but that pales in comparison to all of the lobbying efforts that he's right. You know, working on Jimmy Carter, working on the Prime Minister of Guyana. You know, that is the biggest thing. That these
unbelievable. And obviously your book details that. We're out of time. Daniel Flynn, thank you so much. Congratulations again on the book.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.